This audio recording is a ministry of the Church of the Incarnation, a parish of the Personal Ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter in the Catholic Church. We thank you for listening, and we invite you to visit us either in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.ordinariate.org. The following sermon was preached on Sunday, September 29th, 2019, the 15th Sunday after Trinity, by Father William Doc Holliday.
The poor man died and was carried by the angels to Abraham's bosom. May the words of my mouth, the meditation of all of our hearts, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, in the name of the Father, and Son, and the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
This is a day of lamentation for me. That's a very churchy way of saying Father Doc's going to whine. I do that often. One of the things I'm whining about today is the fact that it is September 29th. September 29th has always, in the tradition of the Catholic faith, been designated as a first-class feast day. St. Michael the Archangel, the dedication of the Basilica in his honor. The Church has always looked to the holy angels as a source of comfort and solace in this world. And to, in the new calendar, have relegated it to a time, because if you go to a traditional Latin Mass church, for instance, today, it will not be green, it will be white. Because, again, traditionally it's a first-class feast day. Sundays are second-class feast days. So St. Michael's Day traditionally has always taken precedent over what we refer to now as ordinary time. We should be honoring St. Michael. We should be honoring all angels. This is, to use a patrimonial title for the day, Michaelmas. It is St. Michael's Mass. It is his day. We need to be attentive to the holy angels. So it might be a second-class feast day, an ordinary time, but I will do everything I can to make it look like a first-class feast day, and we'll just take it from there. This is what we should do to honor the angels. Even if circumstances preclude us from honoring the angels, we should do everything we can to honor them on our own. I say this because angels are, and this is not a theological treatise on angels. We're not going to talk about how many can dance on the head of a pin and all that kind of other kind of stuff that we like to talk about angels. Initially, I just want to talk about how pervasive they are in our faith, how necessary, and I use that word self-consciously, necessary for our salvation. Jesus is the only thing necessary for our salvation. Yes, and he's worked for that salvation in a certain way, and that integrally includes angels. We should honor them for what they do for our Lord Jesus Christ, because in our faith, they are everywhere. They are ubiquitous. Through the deposit of the faith, we see angels everywhere. What is the deposit of faith? Scripture, the tradition of the church. Scripture. Angels are explicitly mentioned 273 times in the Bible. I'm always harping on, hey, if God repeats something, you want to pay attention to that. If he says it three times, or if he refers to it repeatedly in different parts of Scripture, you need to pay close attention. There is nothing, nothing in this world and in our faith that is as prevalent as angels explicitly mentioned in Scripture. 273 times in 34 books of the Bible out of 73. So in almost half the books of the Bible, holy angels are explicitly mentioned. There are implicit mentions of angels that we could, you know, those are different subjects for different days. Well, if this is going on, it's probably an angel. Yeah, probably, but explicitly, 273 times in 34 books of the Bible. Angels are mentioned. You got to pay attention to angels because that lets us know that that's how God works, through angels. The traditions of Holy Church the Angelus, 6 in the morning, noon, 6 in the evening. If Mass starts at one of those hours, it starts at the Angelus. In the Angelus, the prayer that we pray, what do we say? We beseech you, O Lord, pour thy grace into our hearts, that as we have known the incarnation of thy Son by the message of an angel. This is how we know our salvation, is through the message of an angel. The litanies of Holy Church, every one of them. St. Michael, pray for us. St. Gabriel, pray for us. St. Raphael, pray for us. Traditionally, on your deathbed, pray God, a priest is in attendance, you know, not only for the last rites, that's first and foremost, but at the point of your soul's departure, pray God that there is a priest there, and pray God he's using the old forms. Because in the old forms, at the soul's departure, one of the first petitions that we make is, at thy soul's departure, may the radiant choirs of angels hasten to meet thee. And then you go on a couple lines later and you invoke St. Michael the Archangel personally. And then again, shortly thereafter, you invoke the angels in their choirs again. It is an understanding of God's people that angels, that the gospel today is like, when we talk about angels, that it didn't, angels weren't, and there's nothing about angels as subject matter. Really? You're absolutely correct. They weren't the subject matter, but they were there. That's a real familiar gospel pattern. You know, I've never heard a homily about angels for that. Okay, neither have I. That's not to say it's never happened, but why not? Because it says that the poor man died and was carried by the angels to Abraham's bosom. Why are we here? Why are you in church this morning when you could be doing whatever? You could be worshiping God on the golf course or in your bass boat, okay? Like all the other people worship him because he's good with that. No, he's not. Different subject for a different day. Anyway, why are you here? Why are you Catholic? You want to go to heaven. You do everything you can to get to heaven, right? How do you get there? This gospel tells us explicitly how you get there. I mean, the vehicle to which your soul is moved from here to judgment. Holy angels. That's always been an understanding. It's not a Catholic thing. Our Lord Jesus Christ was a Jew. He is speaking this to Jews. And what does he say? The angels took his soul to the bosom of Abraham. It's always been an understanding of God's people that holy angels take our souls to heaven after they have had custody of it for our time on earth. We got to appreciate that. The Mass, the holy sacrifice of the Mass, angels, like our faith, they're even more prevalent in the Mass. I said, if the Mass is at 6 in the morning, noon, or 6 in the evening, or thereabouts, it starts with the Angelus. The Angelus, the Hail Marys. The technical term, title for the Hail Mary is the angelic salutation. What the Archangel Gabriel spoke to the Blessed Virgin Mary. We start the Mass with the Angelus, or if not the Angelus, the prayers at the foot of the altar. I confess to Almighty God, to Blessed Mary, ever Virgin, to Blessed Michael the Archangel. And then as we go on, we invoke the angels collectively at St. Michael again, personally. The collect for today should be the collect of the angels, that God has instituted and ordained this structure of men and angels in a perfect order for our salvation. The Gloria, we say the Gloria right after the collect. What is the Gloria? Glory be to God on high and on earth, peace, goodwill to men. What are those words? What the angels said at the nativity of our Lord Jesus Christ? The Creed. Angels aren't mentioned in the Creed. Maker of all things visible and invisible. What's the invisible stuff? Angels are part of that. There are three times of Mass with incense is used, if incense is used. Incense is blessed every time it's used. The first two, first at the altar, Then the gospel book, the reading of the gospel, the blessing of the incense is, be blessed and honor who thou art burnt, for whom thou art burnt. Simple. Before the offertory, which is the third time it's used, we are blessing then the sacramental forms, bread and wine, that are going to be offered to God in order that they become divinity. We are offering these things to God that they become God at the power of the Holy Spirit. That's a huge deal. A huge deal. Before they are incensed, the blessing of the incense is different. It starts out through the intercession of Saint Michael the Archangel, standing at the right hand of God. Then the rest of the blessing of the incense. The invocation of Saint Michael the Archangel. And then right before the canon of the Mass, when bread and wine are about to become the body, blood, soul, and divinity of our Lord Jesus Christ, objectively, really, we have the preface. During that preface, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven. And then as the preface goes on, holy, holy, holy. Sounds churchy, but all it is a repetition of what the seraphim say before the throne of God 24/7. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God of hosts. Angels. Right after the canon, after bread and wine become the body, blood, soul, and divinity of our Savior Jesus Christ, we ask that now we humbly beseech the Almighty God, command these offerings to be brought by the hands of thy holy angel to thine altar on high in sight of thy divine majesty. And then as Mass finishes, if it's a low Mass, we say the Leonine prayers at the foot of the altar, or at a high Mass, we just end with the St. Michael's prayer. The angels are bookends to the holy sacrifice of the Mass. They are pervasive throughout the Mass. They are pervasive in our faith. They are necessary for your salvation. We got to appreciate that. Again, even if the calendar may deem different, we should take it upon ourselves to honor the holy angels for what they do for us and just who they are. Who are these angels? I mean, again, this isn't a theological treatise. Just to think about some general facts about them. Among all creatures, everything God created, everything, angels are the closest in resemblance to Him. Hey, we're made in God's image too. Yeah, everybody likes to focus on that made in God's image part. Let's never forget, I love the older English translations, but that we are also made of the slime of the earth. Color that up a little bit and say, oh, the dust of the earth. I like the slime better. It gives us a better perspective on things. Okay? But that's the bottom line. You do bear the image of God. And that's a glorious thing. But angels are not hybrids. There's no dust or no slime of the earth in them. They resemble God, who is a spirit, spiritual. They are spiritual beings. That's why I always get bent out of shape when, angels are to be. I'm actually looking at some statues of angels, for potential, adornment of the parish. They're not women. A lot of the statues, they're women. Angels aren't men or women. They're spirit beings, okay? So that whole thing is whatever. We know they're scary, okay? A blonde-haired, Northern European-looking woman is scary. King David, this man killed hundreds with his own bare hands. Okay? It wasn't a day when you shoot somebody far away. He killed a lot of people. And he knew an angel was in the place. No, I'm not going in there. You go in the threshing floor. I'm not going to, This man was no sissy. And he wouldn't go in because there was an angel there. And angels are scary. They're God's warriors, is who they are. So a big muscled guy, yeah, that might look, that's where we kind of put our heads. They're more scary than that. All right? That's angels. They closely resemble God. They glorify Him unceasingly. They never stop glorifying God. I was distracted in Mass. I mean, you and me both. You know, that's just our nature. They unceasingly glorify God. I mentioned the seraphim before. Holy, holy, holy. 24/7. It's like, man, they must be like on the lowest rung of the angel ladder because that's really a no-brainer. They're the closest to God. That's what seraphim is, the burning ones. Hebrew. They're not burning themselves. They reflect the glory of God because they're so close to Him. And because they're so close to Him, they appreciate the fact that He needs to be worshipped 24/7, constantly. Angels all unceasingly glorify God. This is a really cool thing to think about. This is how glorious God is. God created the angels before any fall or rebellion. He created angels to do what? To glorify Him. To glorify Him. Even after their fall, their rebellion, the fallen angels, the demons. And let's a little footnote on this one. If you love the angel, I love angels. I don't believe in demons. That's stupid. Because they're the same thing. One were obedient, others were not. And they're real. If you love to think about your guardian angel, you better really love to think about the demons that are always trying to circumvent him. Angels and demons are real. They're not mythological presentations of good and evil for simple folk back in the day. Demons love nothing better than for Catholic clerics to question their presence or their existence. They love it. Because then you can be effective as an enemy. If you don't know where your enemy is, or even worse, you deny him, you're a fair game. They're real. Be scared of them. They're really active, particularly now. But all this being said, even the fallen angels, in God's glory, He created these beings to glorify Him. And this enrages them no end. Even after their fall, they continue to glorify Him. No, they don't. They don't worship Him. No, they don't worship Him. But they continue to glorify Him. How so? Because God turns their attacks on us to His glory and to our profit. He is glorified. The angels in heaven rejoice every time one sinner comes to repentance. And they come to repentance after the assaults of the devil. When we baptize infants, this is another problematic thing about new stuff. There are no exorcisms in baptism. Baptism is not, hey, welcome to the Christian community. That's not what it is. You are at baptism wrestling that child's soul from Satan. Because he was born, she was born in original sin and destined to hell prior to their baptism. We are snatching a soul from Satan at baptism. This is how God is even glorified by their assaults. And as I said, it's to our profit. Because demons who are real are constantly assaulting you with temptations. And when you withstand those temptations, you fight against them and you overcome them. That is to your merit. You're enraging the demons. So it's going to get worse. Make it worse on them. God is glorified even in the fallen angels. That's how glorious He is, because He created them to glorify Him, and they will continue whether they like it or not, and they don't. To think of beings like this, and then to think this out, that we each and every one of us as an individual have an angel. I was walking through the lobby today, and people put pamphlets down in there every now and then, sometimes for good, sometimes for bad. They said, are guardian angels real? I mean, it's still over there. I haven't looked at it yet. Might have to chuck that one. Are guardian angels real? Duh. Yeah. Is that... Where did you tease that one out of Scripture, here or there? It's explicit. It's explicit. Psalm 90. He has given his angels charge over you, to keep you in all your ways, that you dash not your foot against a stone. Well, that's the Old Testament. Our Lord Jesus Christ. Do not scandalize one of these little ones. Why? Because you'll make me mad and I'm Jesus? No, he warns you, don't scandalize one of these little ones. Why? Because they're angels. Behold the face of my Father who is in heaven. Jesus Christ says, be scared of angels and what they will do. This is what we have to appreciate. This is why we should honor them. These guardian angels that are over, what a source of comfort to understand that you have a being that has custody of your soul, that his sole purpose, it is, well, I got a guardian angel because he likes me, or Jesus likes me and gave me what? Jesus gave you a guardian angel to fulfill his will and the angel's glory in fulfilling God's will. This should be such a source of solace for us. You look at our lives and you see the fleeting nature of everything. And our guardian angels are with us to constantly glorify God. They rejoice in contributing to our salvation because it is the will of the Father that all should come to repentance. Are all going to come to repentance? Obviously not, or there wouldn't be a hell. But we have to appreciate that it is the will of God, his preceptive will, that all men come to repentance. And the angels do everything they can to fulfill his will. But just like any other good guide, even in this world, you can ignore them. They're there, but you can ignore them. You can't make them go away, but you can't ignore them. To not do what your guardian angel nudges you to do, warns you against. You know, there's always, I've done this so many times, I probably shouldn't do this, but, and then all of a sudden, knew I shouldn't have done that. Okay? If you have a guide in this world, I mean, temporally, you go on an African safari, you're walking down a path, and there's like a fork. Your guide goes, okay, let's go this way. No, I want to go that way. And no, don't go down that way. Why not? Because there's a big pride of lions that are standing down the other end, and you go, I want a selfie. Don't go down there. I don't care what you say, I'm going down there. Shame on you. Okay? As your guide watches you walk down there. We do the same thing with our guardian angels. We don't listen to them. We don't pay attention to them. You need to. Our guardian angels move our wills to do good. Everything that you do good, when you feel a consolation for doing something righteous, your guardian angel moves your will to do that. They offer our prayers and good works to God. This is a whole communion of the saints thing. You know, we need to appreciate that. That's the glory of Catholicism and appreciating the communion of the saints. We're not in this on our own. Well, I pray to Jesus myself. The last time I read scripture, it says you don't know how to pray. All right? You know how to pray. The Holy Spirit will groan within you, and then your guardian angel will offer your prayers acceptably before God. That's why we ask the intercession of angels and our Blessed Mother. They polish our prayers up and leave out the stuff that we don't need or that would be bad for us. They do this for us. They protect us. Everybody knows out. What about guardian angels? You hear all the stories. I was almost in a crash. I could have died. We know that one. They also reveal God's will to us. The reason you're here today is because you have been guided. The Holy Spirit did that. Yes, he did. The Holy Spirit, as soon as he gives you that grace to start paying attention, then what he does, guardian angel, take that ball and run with it. This is how God works. This is that wonderful order that God has constructed for us. You have an angel. They are glorious. They are everywhere. Honor them. You need to honor them. We're supposed to honor God and him alone. Next week, we'll hear the Ten Commandments. We hear it at the first Sunday of the month, every month. And one of the commandments of God, who you honor him alone, said, honor your father and your mother. There are a lot of people in this room right now who have not seen their father and mother in decades. You know why that is? Because they're dead. And before they died, they got old and or sick and frail, and they die. The guardian angel who has custody of you, if you're 98 years old, that guardian angel who was a strapping warrior of God the day you were baptized, the day you took your first breath and he took charge of your soul, that same strapping guardian angel, if you're 98, it has not changed one bit. He's not going to die. He's not going to get old and sick and forget things and not be able to hear, not see. He's as perfect as he was the day you took your first breath. He's going to be the one that takes you into heaven. If we're supposed to honor our father and mother, who, as perfect as yours may have been, are incomparable to the holy angels, if God tells us to honor them in their frailty, how much more should we honor the ones whom he has given us that will never change, never leave us nor forsake us, because they glorify him and they do his will 24/7. Honor them. They're an absolute necessary part of the wonderful order that God has ordained and constituted for our salvation. In the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost.